What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Happy Skews Day to you. It's April 9th, 2024. I'm Trey. That's Mark. How you doing, Mark?
Good, man. We've got a fun show, at least the top half day. Well, there's funny stuff in the main segment, too, but when we're talking about Supreme Court in Arizona deciding that women should be imprisoned in the 1800s, not just to get back in the kitchen, but get back in the kitchen without any electricity. So that's we'll be talking about that a little bit later. Before we get to that... Couple things. Consumer Reports has found that Lunchables have dangerous amounts of lead and other chemicals.
When I say that this shatters my heart into a million, I find this so disappointing. Fat kid grown Lunchables were a real treat. You know, fat kid growing up, a poor fat kid growing up in the '90s. You know what I mean? We didn't often have Lunchables money. I get my hand on some Lunchables. I was
about to say we were too poor for Lunchables.
I used to have a whole bit about it, about that, which was true. Mm-hmm. Kelsey knew I was doing the bit and everything. Kelsey Cook was like on her podcast or something once, or I was just talking to her. I can't remember. And I was talking about something how, like, because she's from like a small town in Washington State. And we were talking about, like, you ever think about like the food you used to eat growing up? Like the food we ate growing up, there's so much of it was just so terrible. And she's like, oh, I know. I think about it all the time, you know, like Lunchables and Sunny D. And I was like, Lunchables was uptown shit. Like you come into my high school cafeteria or my school cafeteria with Lunchables, you get your ass whipped for thinking you're better than everybody else, you know. But that's what I'm saying. That's why it was like a nice treat, you know. But even as an adult, I like Lunchables. I'm not gonna lie, I feel very betrayed by this news.
Yeah. Well, the politics angle here is that there's Lunchables are served to like 30 million children through the National School Lunch Program, which are now kids on poor free and reduced lunch. So that's one way to forestall a revolution is to make poor kids so brain damaged they don't realize their life sucks. Go ahead.
Well, it's lead, right? And there's this whole theory about that, you know, with boomers and stuff in their generation that all the lead was around is what's made them all wild in their brains and stuff. Not all y'all, don't start on us, just the crazy ones. Some of y'all escaped the lead poisoning doom, but maybe they're just, you know, they're trying to get that going again. You know what I mean? Get the new generation indoctrinated with lead poisoning insanity.
My mom's going crazy. So there is something to it. But there's a decent argument to be made that the popularity of like QAnon type shit among like older boomers is like a direct product of like lead poisoning. In other news, the House, there's some Republican congressmen want to rename Dulles Airport after Trump. I imagine after that, they'll only offer flights to non-extradition countries. Democrats countered with a bill that would rename the Miami Federal Correctional Institution in Florida after Trump, which is a good bit. If Congress is going to be stupid, at least get involved in the stupid.
Right.
My thing is like Dulles right now is named after John Foster Dulles, who was a Secretary of State under Eisenhower, who, you know, helped plan coups in Iran and Guatemala. And his brother was a CIA director. His dad and granddad were also crazy ass secretaries of state. So my thinking, this is basically a lateral move. So let him fucking rename it. Who gives a shit?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. No, I like the prison idea. It don't hit for me, Trump having an airport, but also who, you know, it's not that. I figure there's probably a lot of airports in this country that are named after pretty monstrous people, I would imagine, because they're noteworthy Americans, and that's how history often be. I did, on this note, we were in our group text recently. People were, so the Little Rock Airport is Bill and Hillary Clinton International Airport, and something happened there. Somebody got arrested there or something, so QAnon and the whole internet jumped on, assuming it was that they're child sex trafficking through there because the Clinton's name is on it. It's like they think the Clintons run the airport instead of it just being named after them. It's like, you think Louis Armstrong's family runs the New Orleans airport? Like, that's not how airports work.
The story does not involve the Clintons at all, but like the reason people were going crazy was like the head of the airport died in a shootout with the ATF, and the ATF I didn't go back and look, but at that point they had not said why they served a search warrant on a guy running an airport. Why was the ATF, and why they killed the motherfucker? So like it was good fodder for conspiracy theories. No Labels, the centrist third party jerk off session, they gave up on finding a candidate to try to go on the ballot. So it's one less third party fucking around this election. But my thing is like, you say you're a party, your whole thing is you have no values, right? You're just about bipartisanship, and you want people to calm down and stop yelling, and you want a candidate with centrist affect who can pass bipartisan legislation. I have a candidate for you. His name is Joseph Robinette Hussein Biden. What are you doing? And I'm not saying like it's like it's just it, so fucking
it's weird to me. Like enlightened centrist types that you like run into in the wild have always been kind of weird to me because it's like, I mean, I know tons of people. We've talked before. I think like most Americans really, or a third of them, are just totally politically disengaged. And if you forced them to talk about it, they would probably just be like, ah, fuck them all type of thing. But to be like really into it, but hold the position of both sides and, you know, I'm in the middle because I'm above all that or whatever, but still like care about it a lot, I find to be odd, you know, like.
It is. And it was a total scam trying to get Trump elected. It is financed by Trump donors and stuff. But yeah, the type of person who's just like, people will say in polls they want bipartisanship, but they don't actually. They want the other side to compromise. They don't want the people they root for to compromise.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So like, it's just, the whole thing's it's like asking somebody in a poll if they like sunny days. And you're like, yeah, okay, well, here's a 140 degree day for you. Like, no, not like that. It's like, it's so weird. One last thing. RFK Jr.'s New York State campaign director was caught on camera saying the plan is to hope to steal one state so it throws the election to the House so Trump can be president.
Right.
I'm like, you guys know what you said it. You're on film. Right.
I wanted to ask you about this because it made me think about, obviously there's been a lot of discourse about RFK Jr. being a spoiler for Biden, and that's not anything new, but I know in the past, like a few weeks or months ago, we like did an episode talking about that. And at the time there were like indications that it might go the other way. Like, has that any of that changed as far as you're aware? Or it seems like people only ever talk about it in terms of fucking over Joe Biden. But I remember we talked before, there was some data that indicated that it could also fuck Trump, and they don't know that it wouldn't go that way. And I was just wondering what's up with that.
It's so far out, but a funny thing happened this week or late last week. RFK Jr. put out a statement in support of the January 6th hostages. And if you're a Trump donor who's financing RFK's campaign to try to fuck Biden, and then he does that, you're like, wait a minute.
Right.
It's like it's like the whole point is your name's Kennedy and you just get on the ballot and don't say anything stupid and it'll work. But unfortunately, you didn't pick one of the good candidates. So there you go. Let's have some fun before we get to the show. How'd you spend the eclipse yesterday, Trey? I didn't even bother going outside to look at that because we're on the West Coast. We weren't in the path of totality. So I just figured.
Yeah. See, I did not know that because I'm sun dumb or whatever. I had been real
moon dumb
about the eclipse. Yeah. Moon dumb. Moon. I'm all that dumb, but yesterday was my birthday, and I was like, well, this is a nice little birthday gift from the universe, you know, because I mean, I love all that space shit and everything. And so I was real pumped about it, but I hadn't read enough about it to realize that, like you said, the zone of totality or whatever, I did not know we were not in that. So I had, I was standing out in the yard, had these on, just staring up at it, thinking the whole time that it's going to continue to move and obscure. And I'm like checking the time. I was like, what the fuck is going on? And I stood out there for like 15 minutes getting progressively more pissed off because I was like, come on, moon. What the fuck? Move, moon. And then I finally looked it up and my disappointment was immeasurable and my day was ruined. But, you know, at least it wasn't a rapture. I thought that was in the cards, right? People thought the rapture was going to happen. So.
Yeah, I like that your approach to you have the same approach to the eclipse that a flat earther would have. Just assume it's going to be the same everywhere.
I thought the whole thing was like America this time. When this one happens, America is in the, I didn't know how wide the sliver was. I thought the U.S. was all in it. I didn't know it was as small as it ended up being, and it upset me.
Well, it wasn't just you that was upset by it. I drove a lot of people crazy. For example, astrologists, people that are into astrology, thought that because it happened while Mercury's in retrograde, they were very upset by this. That was going to throw off the chakras or whatever. QAnon thought the eclipse was a cover for a plan to blow up the moon. Here's a QAnon influencer, Shadow of Ezra. NASA rockets will be fired the eclipse from the swamp in D.C. This is all a major satanic ritual, which my question is, how do they do satanic rituals before there were rockets? I don't know. I'm not going to get to the bottom of that.
Right. Why are we blowing up the moon?
It's a satanic ritual.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Yeah. I got you. Yeah, dude, I saw Instagram comments are insane for people that don't know. If you don't go over there and check it out, if you do, you'll be shocked. I promise you. Wild shit going on. Having said that, I saw some reels of just like video footage of the eclipse, the total eclipse, which were rad. And then I went in the comments and I was surprised by how many of the top comments were people talking about demons, sign from God, all this is biblical, all this shit. I knew that was out there. I just wasn't expecting much of it. It was a big thing.
I'm not sure if it's based on that, but Sarah Sanders, Trump's former spokeswoman, he's now the governor of Arkansas, she declared a state of emergency in Arkansas for the eclipse. It was kind of dark for 4 minutes. Alex Jones posted like an 8 minute long video. I watched like half of it, and I was like, this is fucking stupid and pointless. He called the eclipse a biblical event, a sign from God. The Department of Homeland Security will hijack, for some nebulous purpose, a group of, institutions such as NASA. His plan involved the ancient Egyptian gods and the Bible. I don't fucking know. A reverend named Jeffrey Bagley, who wrote a book called Revelation 911, How the Book of Revelation Intersects with Today's Headlines. He said that the fact that it goes over seven cities called Nineveh and one called Jonah makes you wonder, is this their Nineveh moment?
Right.
For those who didn't grow up in evangelical Sunday school, Nineveh is a wicked city in the Old Testament, in the book of Jonah, in Assyria, I think. And, they were scumbags in Nineveh. So God sent Jonah to tell them about their wicked ways. And he was going to destroy their city unless they repented. So they fasted and repented and had a happy ending. God spared the city. So here you have a thing where Americans founded by a bunch of Christians who named towns after Nineveh. And then later when the moon passes over Nineveh, we're like, see, God did it. It's like, no, we named the fucking cities.
Right. It also, again, you know, I didn't grow up in the church, but it seems like an odd choice to me. I guess ultimately the city is spared. So, but if it was like a known, you know, den of sin and evil, like, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah type situation, like there's not a lot of places named Sodom or Gomorrah in this country, but apparently there's eight towns just in the zone of totality named Nineveh. It's kind of
odd. Well, Sodom and Gomorrah famously didn't repent. So there you go there. Right. So... Marjorie Taylor Greene posted on X, tweeted X, whatever you want to call it. God is sending America strong signs to tell us to repent. Earthquakes and eclipses and many more things to come. I pray that our country listens. So there was an earthquake in New York. Nothing really happened. It was just like they just had fun making memes about it. And eclipses, you can predict them thousands of years in the future because people smarter than me get on telescopes. So like the idea that an eclipse we knew was coming for 3,000 years was a message from God. Is weird to me, but yeah, whatever. But then when people were making fun of her, she doubled down because she got like community noted or whatever. She said many have mocked and scoffed at this post and even put community notes. Jesus talked about that in 1254 through 56, Luke 1254 through 56. Now let me read a little bit of Luke for you. Let's go to church for a second, Trey. He said to the crowd, this is Jesus talking, when you see a cloud rising in the west, immediately you say it's going to rain, and it does. And when the south wind blows, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. Hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and the sky. How is it you don't know how to interpret this present time? Now, in context, Jesus, like a lot of big-time touring acts, his audience was a lot of different types, right?
Right.
Sometimes people are like, we like your old stuff. Sometimes people like your new stuff, all right? He was talking to the people in the crowd who were coming and getting the loaves and fishes from his miracles and stuff, getting fed and getting healed by his touch, but wouldn't listen to the message that he was the Son of God. He's saying, I'm the sign. I'm right in front of you, right? He was not talking about eclipses, right? And, yeah.
It's funny to me that there was people like back then, you know, showing up to church events just for the buffet or whatever. You know what I mean? It's just been an ancient experience, that one. I always wonder whenever these happen, because it feels to me like every 2 or 3 years there's some new apocalypse that they think is going to happen. And of course, it literally never does. And I know they moved the goalpost and everything and all that, but it's just, it's a wild thing to me that they have no problem just setting it aside. And I guess in their heads, they're like, oh, well, I guess he saw fit to spare us. But next time, though, it's for sure happening, and then it doesn't, and they do the same thing again. And it's like, I mean, you know, faith is by definition, you know, belief in the absence of fucking evidence or any of that. Right. So I guess it makes sense. But
my thing is the people in the Bible story were literally being healed by the guy's touch and still didn't believe.
Yeah,
I would believe. I would like, but he's also, it's just funny to me as like two guys who are or were touring performers that he's basically yelling at the crowd for leaving after he does the greatest hits, like you know, like Foreigner playing a state fair or something. Fucking great. And I think Matt, is Trey frozen or am I? Trey's frozen again. Are you, nope. You back? There you go.
I'm back. Right. Yeah, I was just texting Matt. Yeah, I don't know. Just so everybody knows, just so the viewers know, the space I've been using for these for SKUs since we started is at the house I live in Burbank out back. Moving into a different house, and so in the near future, this will change, and hopefully, it's weird because I never used to have the problem that's happened like the past three episodes in a row where I just like cut out for a couple minutes. That's a new development, but I'm saying I won't be here much longer, so hopefully that will go away. I'm sure it'll get worse, but hopefully not. So anyway, just stick with us. I know y'all are, it's a running joke here that we have technical issues, so it'll be fine. Anyway, we'll continue with the show now. Producer Matt is with us back there, probably freaking out when I froze up and everything. Also, if you saw a 1 second version of this show pop up for 10 or for a second, 15, 20 minutes ago, that's because Matt pushed the goddamn button way too early, but it's fine. It's worked out. We're here now. This is Weekly SKUs. Before we continue, I want to remind you of a couple of things. First, if you want to see me do stand up live in person, go to treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates. I'll be in Vancouver and Seattle next weekend. I'm looking forward to going back to Canada, even if it's just for a day. Y'all come and see me. I got a bunch of other dates coming up after that throughout the whole rest of the year, and we're still adding more, so it's going to be fun. TreyCrowder.com. Also on there, you can find a link to me and Corey's book, which actually Audible has it on sale right now this month. The Audible version of it you can get for, it's like $5 or something like that. So me and Corey read it. It's a lot of fun. Check it out. Round Here and Over Yonder is what it's called. And then lastly, if you enjoy this program and would like to show your support, you can do so by signing up on Patreon. You go to weeklyskews.com/more or just go to Patreon and search for my name. You can find it. $5 a month gets you access to full-length bonus episodes like we did a Q&A last time, and I guess we're going to continue that. We take questions from the viewers. We also cover things that happen in between shows or just stuff we want to talk about. It's a lot of fun, so get some more SKUs in your life and support the show in the process. Now, as for tonight's show, like Mark already said, we're going to be talking about the new draconian law in Arizona regarding the abortion ban passed by the Supreme Court there with no exceptions for rape or incest. I said it's a new law, and by new, I mean from the Civil War era. It's 160 years old, so that's fun. And we got some also, we're going to get into how Trump is being treated with kid gloves by the media again. For some reason, they seem to be propping him up as more moderate than he actually is, particularly where abortion is concerned. We'll get into all that a little later. But first, we begin, as always, with the Daily Dumbass. Matt, graphic, please. Tonight's DT, people who don't understand, I'm not lying because a park ranger and my own Colt 45 are in the Taliban. This is Montana GOP Senate candidate Tim Sheehy.
Yeah.
You're going to hear all kinds of lies and innuendo and half-truths about me. They are what they are. I got thick skin. Well, it's not thick enough. I have a bullet stuck in this arm still from Afghanistan. I have a strap on my leg, so I'm used to getting shot at. Used to have heavy bullets fly by and go on my body and everything else. So, you know, liberal spitballs don't scare me. They're going to roll out ever more.
All right. You cut it, Matt. Here's a liberal spitball. You were not fucking shot in Afghanistan. You shot yourself at a national park, Tim, and you got caught. Now, I have no idea. The guy really was a Navy SEAL. Presumably, right. He saw combat, right? I have no idea why he would pretend he got shot in Afghanistan, but how he actually got shot is a pretty funny story. He's been telling this version of the story for a long time, including... no, let me back up for a second. So, basically... he was camping with his family in 2015. He dropped his Colt 45. This is his version of the story. It also doesn't hold water, but Colt 45 apparently went off. He went to the hospital with a bullet in his arm, and doctors there were like, we got to call law enforcement. And so they did, and they called, sent a park ranger, because it happened at a national park. And he told them that he had just shot himself. And then when this story came out, that his anecdote about how he got shot in Afghanistan was bullshit. He goes, no, actually, I lied to the park ranger. Now, conveniently,
right.
the statute of limitations for lying to a park ranger had expired. So here's my thing. I didn't know idea that lying to a park ranger was a federal offense. And I think that's, and I've now determined that's one of the funniest crimes you can be convicted of.
Yeah. I didn't feed that bear. Go to jail for 3 years.
Yeah. So, but also like the Ford, like people, the gun experts were like, it doesn't make sense that a Colt 45 would have gone off like that. Like the model he claimed to have been using. So that also doesn't like hold water. But,
okay. Hold on. So you're saying that he now is claiming that he did tell the park ranger that he had shot himself, but he's saying that that was a lie. And right. What had really happened was that he got shot in Afghanistan, right? That's what he's saying. Why would you ever do that? Like, how does that make any kind of sense? Like, if you really had been shot in Afghanistan, why would you say, actually, I just accidentally shot myself in the presence of my family at a national park? Like, I don't get.
Well, he's saying that it's because he didn't want to get his old comrades and the SEALs in any hot water because the shooting wasn't reported and it might have been due to friendly fire, like a ricochet. Right?
Okay.
That doesn't make sense either because it's the wrong caliber bullet. And any doctors who looked at the X-ray said that this looks like a low velocity, a wound from a low velocity round, like from a handgun, not from an assault rifle.
Also, if he had really been shot in Afghanistan and then he lies and tells the park ranger, "Oh, I just accidentally shot myself," the park ranger is going to think he's Wolverine, right? Like it would be healed up if it was 3 years ago or whatever, instead of like clearly a fresh wound or whatnot. So
also a doctor can tell the difference between a fresh gun, a gunshot wound and one from years ago. Right. That's also a hole in this story, but he's saying he fell and scratched his arm. They went to the doctor. They said, there's a bullet in your arm. He goes, "Oh, that's old." He's like, "Well, we have to report a shooting to the cops, even if it's a 3-year-old scar." None of this makes any fucking sense. I'm just fascinated by how much these guys are addicted to lying.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's like they can't breathe that fucking lying. And he's a MAGA type dude, in case you can't tell. And one of the grossest things he said is like, he talked about trying to keep his buddies from getting the hot water with NCIS. NCIS, real agency, not just a TV show. The example of other SEALs have been dragged through the mud. He included Eddie Gallagher, who's the SEAL who executed a prisoner and was turned in for it by his fellow Navy SEALs, and then Trump pardoned him. So this is an idea of a guy who was unfairly persecuted.
Right.
There's a guy who other Navy SEALs are like, this guy kills too wantonly.
But it's like you said earlier. I mean, they just genuinely cannot help but to lie because, as you said, like, he really was a Navy SEAL. Like, just use that. That's more than enough. Any kind of service is good enough, but especially you're in the legitimate special forces. Like, you don't need to make anything up, but they, you know, just can't help it.
Yeah. I mean, let's ignore, like I have no idea actually behaved in combat, but getting through buds training is hard, man. It's an accomplishment. You had to sit in freezing cold water and carry a log over your head and jog 42 miles with no sleep and shit. So like, it's like, you're a fucking badass. Tougher. Like why the hell? There's no extra valor in getting shots.
Right.
As Trump said, I like my soldiers who don't get shot.
It's
you're good. I'd be like, man, I was great at dodging bullets, man. I was the best. Nobody could hit me. Yeah. All right, we'll get into it.
Yeah, let's talk about Arizona.
All right, so we should have known shit was about to get real weird in Arizona when this happened on the floor of the state Senate last night. This is a bunch of people speaking in tongues, praying for an outcome that they, in fact, got. So maybe it worked. Here you go. Let it be so. You can cut it, Matt. So yeah, prayer works. So today, the Arizona's highest court upheld an 1864 law that bans nearly all abortions. So basically what happened when Roe v. Wade got taken down, a lot of these states had laws on the books that had been moot for a long time.
Right.
And then Dobbs overrules Roe and everybody's like, wait, do these laws still count? And it had been a 2-year legal battle over this particular one in Arizona. And then today the court was like, yep, still counts. 1864, Arizona was not yet a state. It was still a territory. The Civil War was raging.
Right.
And the guy that was a Speaker of the House at that time in Arizona, 3 days after the session was over, they passed this bill. He was a 49-year-old guy that married a 15-year-old girl. So I would say times are different now.
Right? Yeah, you'd like to think. But, I mean, you know, that's part of their whole deal is taking us back to, you know, typically it's the 1950s or so, but 1860s, that works too. I mean, yeah, they want to go back in time, like you said earlier. Yeah. You put a woman in a kitchen with no electricity in it, that's ideal. Yeah. far as they're concerned.
So there is an exception to this law. They did think to put an exception in there for the if an abortion is necessary to save the life of a mother. But the thing is, we know women can't even women have to wait till they're literally on the verge of their heart stopping to get these exceptions. Even if the doctor knows that, like, oh, this is going bad, she's going to have sepsis in 3 days if you don't do this, you got to wait until there's sepsis. So these things are fucking fake. There are no exceptions, like you said, for rape or incest. And the criminal penalty here is doctors who perform procedures would face fines and prison terms of 2 to 5 years. All right,
dude, I just that whole part of it, it's like, and I know this is happening in a lot of states, I think, but it's like, don't you want good doctors to work in your state on your citizens? You know what I mean? What doctor is going to want to, you know, to be a doctor in a state where you can go to actual prison for multiple years for saving up your patient's life or whatever? Like, why would any doctor want to be a doctor in Arizona after shit like this?
I mean, red states are having hospitals closed down and having an ability to attract doctors, like the doctor and nurse talent, for this very fucking reason. But you asked the question, but the answer is they don't care. They don't care for a couple different reasons. You got like the bucket of people who are just hardcore pro-life and thinks whatever happens, God's will. And this is just the way it has to be. Right. Which I, for my whole worldview, disagrees with, but at least I can respect it. At least it is an ethos. The rest of them, which is the majority, just want to have, you know, drink mugs of lib tears. And own the libs.
Yeah.
And the people who are legislating to entertain the people who just want mugs of liberal tears, right? Mm-hmm. Those are the people that infuriate me the fucking most, because they're just nihilists, right? There's no ethos there, right?
Right.
And we're going to talk a lot about the politics of this. Again, whenever we talk about this issue, I like, yes, there's tons of like real world heartbreak that's going to happen because of this bill, even if like right now there's a 14-day stay while another court figures out some shit. And there'll be another 45-day delay before this law goes into effect, because they just give you an amnesty period before doctors start getting arrested. But so that's in 59 days, this could be the state of the law in Arizona. And speaking for a lot of women in Arizona, here's State Senator Eva Birch. I want you to hear her right here.
Somebody gave me a procedure so that I wouldn't have to experience another miscarriage, the pain, the mess, the discomfort. And now we're talking about whether or not we should put that doctor in jail.
Right. So less than a month ago, she took the floor of the Senate and gave a speech where she announced her plans to get an abortion. This is the kind of thing they were debating when she chose to do that. She had gotten pregnant on a miracle. Like, it was like an unexpected miracle type. Her husband, they had been hoping for a kid for a long time. She got pregnant, found out the kid wasn't going to be viable. The fetus wasn't going to be viable. And then told her colleagues she made an appointment to terminate her pregnancy. It was heartfelt and teary speech. And my thing is, like, how has any of us been alive for the last half decade since the dawn of the Me Too movement and not realized that women are fucking furious and they're going to kill us all if you keep fucking with them?
Yeah, I know. Well, they just, you know, they don't care. Like you were saying earlier about the liberal tears part, but also it's like, you know, they, like, by definition, a lot of them don't want to hear a woman's opinions or care what they are. You know what I mean? Like,
they don't want to hear reality. It's like you said, you don't understand. Like, don't they know they're not going to have doctors? It's like, they're governing in a fantasy world. Like, if you want a government to do one thing, you want to connect with the material world, right? It's like, you want your constituents in your state to be able to have access to the best medical care, and you're doing things that will absolutely fuck it up. Now, this is the Supreme Court, not the politicians, but the politicians installed the Supreme Court. So, like, if you're wondering how a purplish state, like a swing state like Arizona, can have a hardcore wingnut Supreme Court, it's because they packed it. Arizona's last GOP governor, Doug Ducey, signed a bill that expand the state Supreme Court from 5 states to 7 and put 2 of his buddies on it. And so he basically, Doug Ducey, appointed 5 of the 7 justices on the state Supreme Court. And once this ruling came out, he put out a statement saying the legislature should do something to overrule it. You got what you asked for, buddy. You just realized how fucking pissed off women are. And the people you appointed, who are insulated from public opinion,
right,
don't give a fuck. And you're like, nope. Holy shit, we're subject to public opinion, and this is an election year.
it's also these kind of cynical moves like this. Like you said, it's a purple state and they know that. So it's like, oh, I got to take any, you know, measure I can to ensure that that if the majority of people in this state don't want this, I need to have, you know, methods in place to say fuck that and make this happen anyway. When it's like, the whole idea ostensibly is that you represent the actual will of the people, but they like openly disparage that notion and don't even care to pretend otherwise. It's like, it doesn't matter if we're outnumbered, we're right. Everyone else is wrong, we're right. I don't care if there's only five of us, we should still be the five people in charge because we are right about all this and you are wrong.
Dude, I bet if you put like somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene under a lie detector test, she would absolutely admit that she preferred to be in the minority so she could be as crazy as she wants. They don't want to govern. They don't want the responsibility of it. They want to say crazy shit. Like when we quoted her Bible verse about the eclipse earlier, I guarantee you her first draft of it sounded way closer to the shit we quoted from Alex Jones. But she's tired of being made fun of and she knows she costs her party votes and they want the majority. But what she wants to do is do this crazy shit and not have it blow back against her.
Right.
But like, so these laws are on the books a lot of places that make us travel back in time. Like, for example, abortions in Wisconsin were largely halted last year because of an 1849 ban, but resumed in September after a judge said the law actually didn't count because, you know, 1849 or whatever other reason. And Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer, the governor's Democrat, had to sign a repeal of a 1931 ban on abortion. 1931. What was going on in 1931? The tail end of the middle of the Great Depression. Was prohibition still going on? You know, and also we decided women couldn't have rights, and that hit for everybody. So Arizona's Attorney General, her name's Chris Mays. She said, quote, "This is far from the end of the debate on reproductive freedom. And let me be completely clear, as long as I'm Attorney General, no woman or doctor will be prosecuted under this draconian law in this state." But she does not speak for local prosecutors.
Right, yeah.
And unless the Republican Party, who's scared shitless of stuff like this, can rein those psychos in who will want to get their name out in conservative media for fighting the good fight, doctors are going to get prosecuted, women are going to get arrested. You know,
I don't know how any of this works. I've long professed to be law dumb, but like, if this is like a state law and she's the, you know, the jurisdiction of that, how does it work? Like you still, like your county prosecutor can still go after a doctor for violating this law. It's not an automatic, like, you know, state issue or something.
I have no idea how the jurisdictions work there, but like, the way in most of America, that's how it works. But maybe she's saying that there won't be any like RICO cases against like whole hospital networks or something. I don't know. So if you're wondering how much elections matter, Chris Mays won her last race statewide by 280 votes.
Right.
There were like 2.5 million votes cast in this race. There you go. She won 1,254,809 to 1,254,529. So there. Carrie Lake, who's a Senate candidate in Arizona and also ran for governor last time. You remember her, the QAnon lady?
Absolute lunatic, right? Yeah.
Yes. She just had a fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago where Roseanne Barr was there and told everyone to drop out of college because colleges are full of baby blood drinking Democrats. Mm-hmm. Here's Carrie Lake on this abortion decision. "I oppose today's ruling, and I'm calling on Katie Hobbs and the state legislature to come up with an immediate common sense solution that Arizonans can support. She says there isn't a federal role." So let's unpack that for a second. Here's Carrie Lake's decision tree of her belief system. She opposes today's ruling and wants Katie Hobbs to solve it, who's the Democratic governor of Arizona. She also believes abortion should be left to the states. She also opposes abortion, and Arizona is a state.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's what just happened, right? State made this decision, and then her position is that states should be able to do that, but still this don't hit for her. It's wild. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm kind of surprised she opposes it in any capacity, really. I know she's a woman, but again, like we said, she's full-blown QAnon lunatic, so...
Well, she doesn't. She's on the record supporting this exact law. She ran for governor in 2022. Okay. Throw that screen grab back up there, man. Here's her in 2022, where she says she's Lake in July 2022 saying she supports that 1864 law that mandates a 2 to 5 year prison sentence for anyone who provides abortion to anyone other than a dying girl or woman. "My personal belief is that all life matters, all life counts, all life is precious, and I don't believe in abortion. I think the older law is going to take and is going to be going to effect. That's what I believe will happen." She said this on camera. I imagine this will come into campaign ads near you. So this is like, she is another quote from her calling it a great law. So like the example I used last time we talked about this was like, Republicans aren't just the dog that caught the car. Their dog that caught the car got to drive it for a little bit. And they're like, wait, who keeps putting all these lakes in front of us for us to drive into?
Right. Yeah. Well, they're all trying to know, we're going to get into this with Trump in a little bit, but it's like a lot of them have realized how, you know, hugely unpopular this is, but it's like they're pot committed to it, whatever, you know, they can't be in favor of abortion, but they try to find a way to not be hardcore against it because they think it's going to lose them votes or whatnot. And it's like, yeah, I mean, they're definitely being hoisted by their own petard here. This is exactly what they've wanted for years. Like you said, dog that caught the car.
Fox News, which has devolved into not just the Republican messaging apparatus, but specifically for Donald Trump, has gone all in. They're saying into camera, on live television, that yes, we all know we're all pro-life, but people hate us for it, so we have to lie.
Yeah.
Right? That's like, it's so weird how that's baked in. They're doing it out in the open, and nobody can fucking put together the – like, I'm going to solve the case for everybody later if Jake – like, the cable news somehow did a better job in, like, the New York Times and framing this stuff when Trump talked about it, but, like, let me explain this to somebody like a small child because they act like small children, but before we get to the media stuff and Trump, even before this happened, Democrats had gone all in on, like, betting on Arizona along with Florida. Once again, we're going to do a ballot initiative. Choice activists in Arizona have already been collecting signatures to put it on the ballot. The signature they needed, they had until July 3rd to get 400,000 signatures, and they've already gathered over 500,000. And we need just a simple majority to pass. I imagine this will boost Democratic turnout, but it might just boost turnout in general. And how these things have gone in the past is a lot of these voters will vote to enshrine abortion in the Constitution, but still vote Republican. Now, that's right. Not totally idiosyncratic because Arizona Republicans are largely libertarian leaning, so it's not inconsistent.
Right. Yeah. Government shouldn't be doing that sort of thing or anything at all. Yeah.
But Democrats do believe it'll juice turnout and give them a chance, not just for Biden to win the state, but to make sure Ruben Gallego, who's running against Kari Lake, wins, and they could flip the state house or increase their margins. But did you see Joe Biden's latest ad about abortion, which he put out before this happened?
I have not seen it.
It's just a testimonial from a Texas mom, a woman in Texas who wanted to be a mother, who miscarried when she was 5 months along, and she's just going through like the footprints she got on the thing and talking about how much she wanted her daughter, and that because she could not get a DNC procedure, which I'm gonna try to pronounce right now, dilation and curettage, it's called a DNC. It removes tissues from inside your uterus after you've had a miscarriage for your health, for general well-being. And she turns out she might not ever be able to get pregnant again because Donald Trump appointed judges to the Supreme Court who threw out Roe v. Wade, and the ad ends with Donald Trump did this, which he absolutely fucking did. And it's the main thing everyone needs to hold in their head no matter what he fucking says.
Right. Yes, because he's saying not that anymore, right? Can't with Donald Trump, you know, being dishonest and obfuscating the truth and whatnot. But that's what he's trying to do. Is this a pivot from, you said he's the main reason this happened with his court and everything. But yes, there's been in the news a lot this week. And if you just read like the trending topics or like the headlines and stuff on Twitter and shit like that, it makes it seem like Donald Trump taking a moderate stance on an abortion ban. Says he's not in favor of all that or whatever. It makes it seem like he's being reasonable, but that's not really the case here, right?
So he previewed on Sunday and made a big statement on Monday. We talked about last week, because of Florida's 6-week abortion ban, which is going to be a ballot initiative have a constitutional amendment protecting choice in Florida, that he was going to have to speak on it. So he announced he's going to speak on it, and he did. He came out and gave like a 4-minute-long speech where he, unless you read between the lines, he didn't say jack shit. He described the status quo, which is whatever, and then said it's fine, which it isn't, for like women in 22 or 23 states or whatever. So he basically came out and said abortion should be left to the states, which he didn't really mean. And he said, this is a position that I don't really believe in and will change once in power, but it will help me avoid more scrutiny for how I ended Roe v. Wade. And the next day, Arizona busted through the door and said, what the fuck up? Right?
Yeah.
You're right, the national headlines, throw this collage up here, Matt, if you got of some national headlines about Trump's speech on abortion. Donald Trump says abortion should be left up to the states. Has to been calls to back whatever. Trump declines to back nationwide abortion ban. That's not what he said. He did not speak to whether or not he would, what he would do in the future. He described what is going on now, which he got rid of Roe v. Wade and it's left to the states. They're inventing something he did not say. Like, an accurate version of the headline would be more like, Trump acknowledges abortion law up to states, does not explicitly say whether or not he'd sign a ban.
I mean, why do this? Is it because it's like, it's juicier if you make it seem as though he's like backpedaling on abortion, or is it the whole like, they want it, the media just wants it to be a bloodbath because that's better for, you know, ratings, clicks, readers?
I think they're just fucking stupid at this point.
Yes.
Like, it's just like, it's like Trump didn't just start existing today. You've been covering him for fucking 9 years at this point as a political actor. Even like you even started dabbling in politics like 2010, 2012, giving endorsements and going on Fox News and shit. Like, he's a well-known figure, but I feel like the people that write these headlines, if you could figure out a way to gamble on peekaboo, they lack so much object permanence, you could take their fucking house. It's like they were all born yesterday. I don't understand it. And like, Laura, Fox News is more honest than those headlines. Here's Laura Ingraham last night telegraphing what the move is here.
Well, Byron, Republicans fought for 50 years to get Roe overturned, and courtesy of Trump, they finally succeeded. But didn't he do the thing, the only thing really he could do at this point without committing political suicide and ensuring that more pro-abortion activists get nominated to the federal courts? Oh, right. Byron.
So, by the way, Trump previewed this move also. Like, in Sunday night when he said he was going to make this statement, he said, quote, he was talking to Republicans and Republican voters, quote, "We must use common sense in realizing that we have an obligation to salvage our nation, which is currently in serious decline, to win elections." He's saying we have to say whatever we need to say to win the fucking election. Shut the fuck up, you psychos.
Right. It's like what she's saying here. We all acknowledge that this was a massive victory for our party and our, you know, our side of the political fence, but he kind of has to act like it isn't because of how much everyone hates it, of how much so many people hate it. It's like I was saying earlier, it's implicitly understood there that, you know, the will of the people or the actual majority, it doesn't mean anything to them. Mm-hmm. Like, it's all just about, you know, them being right and liberal tears.
And it doesn't really, because he just lies every minute he's awake. So I don't even like, but in case you're wondering, it doesn't matter what he said, but let me tell you what he didn't say. In case you want to take him at his word at all, he did not say whether he'd sign a federal abortion ban if Congress passed it. Nor did he say whether federal regulators under his administration would move to ban medication abortions or restrict sending them through the mail. He did not say how he would vote on the abortion referendum in his home state of Florida. And he also didn't say whether he would continue to appoint judges who will further curtail abortion rights. Those are the four main things that he should be asked.
Right.
And he didn't speak to any of it. And everyone's like, well, he's moderating for the general election.
That's another thing, too. And I don't know the context. When he said all this, was this part of just like a speech he was giving, like not an interview or whatever? But it's wild.
For Juice Social and Twitter. It was one of your portrait videos.
So, yeah, right. So that's a little different. But you just reminded me, like, it also kills me a lot of these, like, you know, these media outlets that are not supposed to be right-leaning. You know, they're not Fox News, but they just let these people just say these things. Like you said, it's like, here's what he should be asked, but they don't ask follow-ups or whatever. You know what I mean? They don't like press them on any of this shit. They just allow them to say, they allow them to bullshit their way around their lunacy. And then they just like keep going. Like, it seems like they never push back or like really call them to task or anything like that. They just kind of let it happen most of the time.
Yeah. He's not really granting many actual interviews he did one recently with an actual outlet was semi-adversarial and it did not go well. So I imagine it'll be all Newsmax and Fox from here on out. A small wrench in the plan to lie is other Republicans who actually believe in stuff. Now, I disagree with the stuff they believe in, but I can respect their right to believe it. Lindsey Graham is now back in Trump's, shit list because he's been pushing a national 15-week abortion ban. And he's still doing it. So Trump, you know, insulted him and said that Lindsey Graham is his fault, meaning he shouldn't have endorsed him for the Senate last time he ran. So Trump went on True Social, called Graham a warmonger who should focus his attention elsewhere on like killing, getting America involved in more stupid wars. That was funny. He also, like he said, this, that Graham was, quote, doing a great disservice to the Republican Party by focusing attention on the issue this caused many good Republicans to lose. Like, you're not saying that his position is one you disagree with. You're telling me shut the fuck up about it so you can win.
Right.
It's so weird to me. Like, if you don't follow a bunch of conservative influencers, there's like a weird civil war on the right over abortion that takes these kind of lines. That's like, some people say we've got to stop pushing this. Like, there's like a utilitarian argument here. Where it's like, well, we can maybe get a 15-week ban, but if we push for 6, we're going to lose, and therefore we'll actually be killing more babies, right?
Right.
So you take what we get with the 15, and then the other words are like, well, you're not actually pro-life then. And I get the point. At least they're being honest about what they fucking believe.
Yeah, I mean, I have to be completely honest here. Obviously, I'm not at all on their side with this particular debate, but I do get, I've said before, you know, the whole, like, do you want to be right or do you want to win thing? Like, the idea that, like, you know, some of these, like people that absolutely refuse to vote for Joe Biden because of any one thing. And it's like, well, but it's more important that we win so that we can get other things that, you know, that need done, or it'll be even worse, even with the Palestine, Gaza or whatever, Trump will be worse for that. You know, the idea of like big picture, like being like, I don't like this either, but I'm still going to vote for him because we need to win more than anything, you know, which I guess is what a lot of these people are doing here with this particular subject.
Right. But I never in my life have it. I might encourage politicians to emphasize or de-emphasize different issues, but I've never ever called on anyone to lie like a mirror image of their actual position.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you choosing different messaging is different from like saying up is down. Right.
Yeah.
And like, they're just absolutely fucking lying here. And one of the things Trump's lying about, and he lied about in his statement about abortion, is he didn't leave it to the states isn't a too simplistic of a decision than what they did, because the court, it did not limit the possibility of federal legislation or executive action. Like, so that's also not true. The president has a lot of power here. Like, they could, the FDA, the Supreme Court case you just heard about, like, whether or not the FDA should have approved mifepristone. Like, the FDA can just unilaterally flip their ruling on that under a Republican administrator. Now, maybe somebody can sue and get it put back and flip it the other way. The lawsuit goes the other direction. But the Supreme Court's not going to do that. So, part of what they're up to is, like, they want to make this so like obscurantist and confusing that they can slide shit through a back door, essentially. Because like trying to explain to somebody FDA regulations and how mail stuff, how it works, and like how the FDA approval process works. Like, I don't want to be involved in any of that. Right. I want to talk about people's rights and shit, and explain like in the weeds this much is like boring. Like, it's hard to explain to people. It's stupid. And also like, it doesn't really matter what Trump personally wants, because he's part of a conservative political party that has an ecosystem of donors and other activists that he doesn't control. Like, remember, in our system, the president works for the party as much as the other way around. So, yeah. Like, the rest of the party wants to totally ban abortion. There's no way he won't sign a national ban if they have it in front of him.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. If they have the majority and the capability of doing that, if they get an abortion ban bill in front of him, mm-hmm. he's going to veto it? I mean, no.
Yeah. And like, as far as what the rest of his movement, what the rest of his party wants, here's a leading Trump advocate by the name of Michael Knowles, who co-hosts a podcast with Ted Cruz, who's been involved with Project 2025, we've talked before, where he's talking about surrogacy. All right. Surrogacy. People who can't have babies hiring another woman to carry their fetus. All right.
Yeah. I got questions about this. Go ahead, man.
You conclude that every single adult involved in this should be imprisoned for life, at least. That's just the natural reaction that one has to this grave, grave child abuse that our culture tolerates now for the last 5 minutes and, in fact, celebrates.
All right.
Surrogacy. Like, I didn't even know that we know about everything that happened with IVF in Alabama or whatever, but it seemed to me like IVF was almost like collateral damage down there, and they fucked up real bad. And and then
yeah, they're against IVF. They're against IVF. They all had them.
Well,
like it's just yeah.
But surrogacy, I don't. What is the idea? Because a woman who can't have a child on her own is cursed by God to not be able to do that, and so this is like basically skirting God's authority. Is that why they hate it so much? It's like you're not basically, supposed yeah. to. Yeah, that's great. Saying that she'd be in prison for life is just so insane. Calling it child abuse, how? Like,
I don't know the child, but you can't do surrogacy without IVF, basically. So I understand like a little bit of their point of view. Matt says in Bible college we learned that it's unnatural. So Matt, yeah, Matt went to Bible college. Everybody, it's not just me who's drowning in Bible shit. It's also producer Matt. So. I mean, it is unnatural, but so is flying in airplanes.
Right.
You know, and eating prepackaged food. Like, so I don't, like, what, where the fuck are you people drawing the line? But I, like, I've had friends that hired surrogates. And the only thing I thought was, like, should be illegal about it was how, like, little the women get paid. Like, it's way less than you'd think for having 9 months of your health at risk. It's like, it's fucking crazy. And in case you're wondering who Trump's lying to here, all right. Us or pro-life activists? The pro-life activists are fairly sure it's us, all right? The head of Susan B. Anthony, Pro-Life America, told CBS that she spoke to Trump yesterday and, quote, thinks there's a door to a federal, thinks the door to a federal ban remains open, end quote. The leader of a pro-life organization told CBS that she thinks Trump is a huge liar and that's what makes her cool with him.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They're like, no, listen, don't worry about it. He's just lying about all that. He's really, he's really still going to do it. You say that, and you know, we're, everybody's like, okay, cool. We're worried.
Christian fundamentalists, and that's why we fucking love liars. All right. So the Comstock Act looms over all this shit because they might not have to pass a federal ban. All right. If you're not super familiar with the Comstock Act, the Comstock laws were like a set of federal acts that criminalized, they were like in the 1870s, I think, that criminalized the use of the U.S. Postal Service to send any of the following items: obscenity, contraceptives, abortive fashions, sex toys, personal letters with any sexual content or information, or any information regarding the above items. Information regarding, so you couldn't send like a recipe for a homemade herbal abortion in the mail either. But the personal letters with any sexual content information will become funnier once I tell you who Anthony Comstock was. But imagine you're on the road, Trey, like you are a lot now. But instead of texting being available, you had to send Katie letters. Mm-hmm. And you send her a letter to your lovely wife saying, I miss you, honey. I'm going to tear that shit up when I get home.
Yep.
You would be a federal criminal.
Yeah. Also, like, you know, dude, soldiers at war and shit. Mm-hmm. That's like all they did was send these, you know, sultry letters and shit. You're going to criminalize our mm-hmm. our beloved troops for that? Yeah, it's ridiculous. This hasn't been enforced for years, right? But it still technically exists, like, and they're going to use it. Like,
no one thought to repeal it because everyone thought it was moot because it was like made irrelevant by a series of Supreme Court decisions that happened since then about the First Amendment, contraception, and abortion. So like, but no one ever, it'd be like those law books of crazy laws you get where it's illegal to have an alligator in a bathtub in Florida or whatever.
Right.
It's like one of those laws. It like turns out still in the books and we forgot to fucking delete it. Oh no. It turns out we could have a dictatorship run by, men. So this is going to be their new thing to lie about because that law is on the books and they can just use it. And Supreme Court has heard arguments about it in the Mifepristone case a couple weeks ago. All right. So 145 Republicans signed a letter relating to that Supreme Court case about the Comstock Act again, 1873. They said that they think it's like still good law. All right. Jonathan F. Mitchell, who's Texas's former solicitor general and a huge MAGA guy who represented Trump at the Supreme Court and tried to overturn the election, he said, quote, we don't need a federal ban. We have Comstock on the books. But they don't want to talk about it. Here's a funny quote from a movement attorney who told The Atlantic, quote, it's obviously a political loser, so just keep your mouth shut. Say you oppose a federal ban and see if that works.
Right.
Because you can say you oppose a federal ban.
Saying it out loud, yeah.
And then still Trump takes office and says the Comstock Act is good law. And now abortion is legal across the country.
Okay. But I get that this old law, the Comstock Act, would prevent any abortion drugs from being mailed anywhere else. Mm-hmm. But I mean, what about just going and getting the procedure or having it? Is it the clinics could not obtain the drugs from anywhere? Like, is that how it works? They couldn't get it. They couldn't procure that anymore. If this went into
effect. Here's the fun part about opening this particular wormhole. It could be the end of all commerce in America if the Justice Department decides to make it so, because there's not anything where stuff doesn't go through the mail for it.
Right. Right.
There's like, if you need to get like the abortion clinics probably get their supplies delivered.
Right. Right.
So
yeah, this is nefarious, dude.
Right. I mean, like, technically speaking, because the Comstock laws were about obscenity too, is you try to order like a laptop off Fleshlight? Amazon.
Oh, okay.
You got a laptop on Amazon, you could be arrested because that's a pornography.
You can watch porn on it. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So,
Anthony Comstock, small government strikes again.
Right. I want to talk about what a little loser, fucking crazy wingnut Anthony Comstock was for a second. He was the postal inspector under U.S. Grant, and big fan of Grant's whole vibe. Not sure what he fucking saw in this guy. Maybe he's throwing a bone to somebody. So. We're going to talk about soldiers getting horny letters from home at war. So what radicalized him, besides the fact that he moved to New York City and saw a bunch of depravity on the streets, before that, he was in the Union Army in the Civil War. And he was radicalized against obscenity and vice by seeing his fellow Union soldiers drink, gamble, jerk off to pictures from the girls or sweethearts back home or whatever. So that started his lifelong pursuits to end sin in America. All right.
Imagine being in fucking war and your primary takeaway personally is like, you know what we need to get rid of? All this stuff that makes war marginally better. You know what I mean? Drinking letters. Like, the only things about this that hit at all, they all got to go. Nothing but blood and guts and suffering and, you know, disease and death. All day, every day.
This Anthony Comstock is a guy who once claimed that, quote, books are feeders for brothels. Right?
What? I feel like the opposite is true.
Yeah, me and Trey read a lot as kids. We ain't get no action. He was once stabbed in the head by a pornographer whose business was mailing dirty pictures. So he went to arrest a pornographer and the guy stabbed him in the head. That guy hits. I forget his name, but he rules. He had a long beef with that pornographer, he arrested the guy many, many times, right? Because Comstock's buddy had read some of the guy's work or seen some of his pictures, and then later on got a venereal disease. And Comstock's conclusion was that this guy's work made him too horny, and therefore his buddy's venereal disease was this pornographer's fault. Mm-hmm. Comstock claimed that he drove 15 people to suicide, and that was a brag to him.
Oh man. For what? For depravity? For being perverts or whatever?
He arrested Margaret Sanger. He arrested he would harass, use the power of the law to harass people until their beliefs and livelihoods were unsustainable. Like I have no idea this pornographer's beliefs in civil rights or whatever, but Larry Flint was a big First Amendment guy. He went to the Supreme Court multiple that guy didn't kill himself to my knowledge, but too bad Comstock survived the pornographer stabbing him in the head. But anyway, this is the guy Republicans want to put century after he died, a century, 130 years after he died or whatever, want to put him back in charge of women's bodies. And it's not just a law from 1864 or Anthony Comstock from 1873, or there's laws that run the books in Wisconsin and fucking Michigan. They want to establish a dictatorship by our great, 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 great grandfathers, the ones who were allowed to vote. And that fucking sucks. And their only way to get it through is to lie their asses off about it. And too many people are going to cooperate in this lie. And that, I find that fucking infuriating. Because the one thing I hate almost as much as taking away people's rights is being bullshitted.
Right.
Fucking hate it.
Yeah. Well, you know. That's like their two favorite things right there. It's like their two favorite pursuits, bullshitting and taking away people's rights. All right. Listen, thank y'all for watching. Before I go, real quick reminder, go to treycrowder.com. Check out my upcoming tour dates. Get tickets. Come see me. It's fun. Me and Corey's book, Round Here and Over Yonder, is on sale on Audible this month. Check that out. And if you like this show, you want more of it, and you want to support the show, then sign up on Patreon. Go to weeklyskews.com/more. Or just go on Patreon and search for my name. Either way works. Sign up, $5 a month, full-length bonus episodes. We're in the middle of a Q&A right now. So that's a lot of fun. But the most important thing is you keep showing up here on Skewsdies. And if you do, we will too. So with that said, thank you very much. Love you like chicken. See you next time. Bye-bye.